as we study together, you need to understand that I agree with the sages of Israel that every verse that you come to, the sages talk about every verse being like a diamond with 70 facets. And you've probably had this experience of reading a scripture over and over and over again. You've seen it all your life, and then one day you're sitting at a conference, you're sitting in your personal devotion time, you're reading the Bible when the preacher's boring or, you know, something, you know, and suddenly you read this verse and it jumps out at you and it's like, oh my gosh, where'd that come from? And it's all new. All right? The Bible is inspired and it's alive. All right? Now, the scripture needs to be understood from four different levels, and I want to explain those to you. And to do so, the Jewish people coined another helpful term, coined another acronym, and that acronym is PARDES. It stands for Peshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. And these are the four levels of interpretation. So what we're saying here is that most scripture verses will have one, two, or all of these applications. What is the Peshat level? The Peshat level is the historical level, the simple telling of how an event took place. This is always the first rule of interpretation. It means what it says. In the most simple, plain sense of the telling of the story, and Joseph went down to Egypt means Joseph went down to Egypt. Now, it may symbolically mean something else about Jesus going to Egypt, but in its basic sense, it means Joseph went to Egypt. And if you will not accept that level, then the rest of the levels are irrelevant. I was sitting down in the middle of the Negev Desert, and we were at a place, we sometimes take the groups to a place called Shacharit. And there was a young man originally from Tel Aviv. The best way I can describe him is a desert rat. I mean, I wasn't sure when the last time the guy had taken a bath. But he was our guide for the day. And we sat under this Bedouin tent, and he was explaining all the Bedouin methods of making coffee. And then the next day, he walked us out into the wilderness, and we rode camels. Yeehaw! You know, and it was an amazing thing. But as I got to talking to him, I was really perplexed because the people that ran this particular place were very keen and very excited about this discovery they thought they had made. And it was of the location of Mount Sinai. The problem is that the location that they believed Mount Sinai actually was in is absolutely contradictory to where the scripture says that it is. And he showed me some pictures, and there were idols and things, and you didn't have to be an archaeological genius to take one look at it and know it's a pagan site. It has nothing to do with where God entered covenant with Israel. Now, in talking to this young man, whom I like, if we go back, I'll call him, I'll ask him to be my guide, so I want you to understand I have no ill feelings towards him. But I was a little perplexed. Because it was obvious in spending time with him that his life and his lifestyle in no way, shape, or form remotely resembled what the Bible would call a righteous life. Yet here this young man was, all excited about finding Mount Sinai where God came down and gave the Ten Commandments and entered covenant with Israel. And after listening to him, I finally had to pose the question to him. What difference does it make if you find the mountain where God came down and did all these things, if you ignore everything he said? If the righteous instructions that he gave to you are irrelevant, who cares which mountain it was on? And I asked him a question, and I wasn't trying to be mean, but I asked him, if God really came down and revealed himself in that way, doesn't he have the right to tell you how to reach him?